Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you here until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone lines are open. The telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the radio with us here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we're going to have a special guest joining us in the 11 o'clock hour. I'll be talking more about that in a few minutes. We got some other things I want to mention here. Having some squirrely issues with my computer here tonight. I've been sitting here for the last 20 minutes, I think, trying to get it to cooperate, and nothing's wanting to work, but that's okay. We will press forward, and we will do the best that we can with what we have. But in the meanwhile, we certainly want to invite you to give us a call tonight and stay tuned. We will go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program this evening. Pray that you would use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to someone tonight. And we do pray that, again, all that we do, that we might lift up and glorify Christ. And we just give you the thanks, the honor, and the glory for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, again, good to be with you tonight. And chilly weekend here in northeastern Ohio. Yeah, it's kind of a tale of two cities between Cleveland and Akron today. I woke up this morning. Last night it was snowing a little bit. I woke up this morning. I went out to my car and had a dusting of snow, just a little bit of snow. I live midway between, more than midway, I guess, a little closer to Akron. I'm in northern Summit County, and we kind of consider ourselves sometimes the part of the secondary snow belt, but just a little dusting of snow. It was chilly. It was cold. It was below freezing. I think it was in the upper 20s or something like that. And, of course, people to the north of us, further north up in Cleveland, up toward the lakeshore, they were greeted with quite a bit of a different morning today, I guess, in some places. Quite a bit of difference in the snowfall. We had a few flakes here and there, but that was about it. And it kind of reminded me sometimes. I remember one time I was driving from Richfield down to Massillon, and I got up in the morning, and I think I had felt like a foot of snow on the car. It was probably only about 6 or 8 inches, and it was a heavy snow, and I got my car cleared off enough that I could drive. And I remember I got down to Massillon, and I pulled into a gas station, and I still had a whole bunch of snow on my car that still had not come off yet, and it was like about a 40-some-mile drive. And all these people were driving around, no snow on their cars at all, looking at me funny. And, it's kind of the way it was today, only between, say, Cleveland and Akron, but just what a difference it made depending on where you were at. Well, I hope if you're someplace where you had a heavy snow today that you're doing okay and you're getting dug out. But if you're in an area like I was where you didn't have much, the cold weather is breaking and it's supposed to warm up, I think, into the 50s tomorrow. And it's looking like it's going to be a lot nicer a day. So it's, spring is coming. And in fact, what is it? I got to look at my calendar here. The first day of spring officially is, I believe, actually tomorrow. It's usually about the 20th or 21st. It's the spring equinox. And One of the reasons it says equinox, like we have the autumnal equinox in the fall, and this is the time of year when you'll have the same numbers of daylight hours and the same number of nighttime hours. And that's why it's called equinox, equal numbers of light and dark. And from this point on, you'll be noticing that the sun will seem to be up later and later, because it is. And not just because we sprung the clocks ahead an hour, but it's because the days are actually getting longer. And they will continue to get longer until about June 21st, which will be the longest day of the year. And then after June 21st, they'll start getting shorter and shorter. And then finally, we'll hit the autumnal equinox in October, November. I think it's in November. It should be in, not November. It should be in October, I think it is. But anyway, we'll hit that around there, and then it'll get shorter and shorter until we get to the longest night and the shortest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere, which is going to be in December. So all those things are coming up. That'll be about December 21st. So they're always right about the 21st. And so it's just kind of interesting the way the seasons progress. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that God created the sun, the moon, the star. He put the moon and the stars in the sky for signs and for seasons. And I've been noticing the constellation Orion, which is one of my favorites, but you don't see it until in the fall. Orion starts to come up, and it comes up late at night, and then it gets earlier and earlier. And now, of course, as we're getting late in the winter and approaching spring, Orion is setting earlier and earlier in the evening. And so pretty soon Orion won't be seen at all until in the fall. So it's that basically fall and winter constellation. So when you see Orion rising, you know that winter is coming. And when you see Orion getting lower and lower in the sky toward the end of the year, and or in the early part of the year, you know that spring is coming. That's one of the ways that God set the stars to provide signs indicating the seasons, the progression of the seasons. And so, and that's just one way, of course. And then, of course, many times people use the moon to calculate the length, the passage of time. The lunar month, for instance, and following the cycle of the moon, from the new moon through the full moon back to the new moon again. But at any rate, we got calendars and things to help keep those things, keep track of those things for us. But one thing I'm really looking forward to and watching for is the signs of the times that indicate that our Lord Jesus Christ will be returning for us soon. And you know, the Bible talks about knowing the signs and the seasons, not only just for in terms of, you know, people looking at the signs and seasons, thinking spring planting is going to be coming for gardens and things like that pretty soon. But we also know the signs and the seasons, knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ will be coming soon as well. And I like what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, where he said, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." He's talking about when the Lord comes, as he was in the previous chapter, to catch away the believers prior to the seven-year tribulation period. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and hope, and for an helmet the hope of salvation, or faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." And I like what he says in verse 11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do." And You know, we need to encourage one another and comfort one another when we see the things that are happening, fears of bank collapses and other things that are happening, feared wars and rumors of wars taking place, and all these things that are happening. The Lord says to watch, and we know the times and the seasons. We're in that season. But he says, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And hopefully we accomplished that a little bit on the program here. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. And we are going to be taking your calls here in the first half hour, talking about some different things as well. But in the second half, or in the second hour tonight, in the 11 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined by Jonah Schultz. Jonah Schultz, some of you know the name. He has run for Congress. He has recently written a book. We'll be talking about his book in the second hour and talking about some of the things that are happening here in our nation and here in Ohio. So I encourage you to stay tuned for that. And also wanted to remind you, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, of course, and the radio program. You can also link to the webpage for our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. That's all at livewithpastoral.com. And you can listen, as I said, to past programs there. There's a number of articles there. I was checking on before the program started, and for some reason, at least on my computer, when I run the website, it's showing from earlier in February. I just made a bunch of changes last week or so and updated a number of things and updated programs through pretty recent, but now for some reason it is set back to an older form back from earlier in February, mid-February, I guess. And not sure what's happening, and I couldn't get into the program to tweak it before the program started. So bear with me. Hopefully it's just a fluke with my computer, but I'm not sure what's going on. But bear with us. And I do always ask you to pray that God will help me with doing these things with the web pages, because you know we're not a big church and we don't have a big staff here for the radio program to do all of this. Instead, it's pretty much up to me on these things on the radio. But we'll get you on the radio here tonight if you're calling in. I guess we got a couple of people calling in and somebody waiting right now. We're going to get to Nancy here, I believe, and we'll get Nancy here in just a minute. Just bear with me a second here. We'll get Nancy on here, and then we got somebody else calling. But Nancy, are you there with us?
Yes, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call. And my phone is just about running out of energy, so I'm so glad you took me first.
Well, I'm glad we got to you right away then tonight. Nancy, I think you're one of those people that got dumped on with a boatload of snow last night, aren't you?
Oh, boy. I was snowed in this morning. I was so disappointed I couldn't go to church. But a real good friend of mine shoveled me out in the afternoon. Boy, we had like... Well, they said 4 to 8 inches. It seems like some places it was 8 inches, some places it was 4, and sometimes it was 6, some places 6. We really got dumped on. I was so surprised to hear that you barely had any.
Oh, we didn't even have an inch. In all actuality, unless it's over about 6 or 8 inches, I don't worry about it. Because our cars go through it all right in our drive. As long as I can get out to the main road, that's fine. that's the part there. I don't think we had even an inch of snow. It was fluffy, and it just kind of all just came right off, and off I went.
That's amazing. Now, my question this evening is about TikTok. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think I've ever given them any of my information. You know, like bought anything from them or gone through a screening. I just occasionally look at the some of the TikTok videos are very interesting. So is there some way that the Chinese can get your information, even if you don't specifically give it to them, just by being, by watching their videos? That's what I was curious about. Thank you.
Well, yeah, and this is something that you ought to be concerned about. A number of states and the federal government and I believe the U.S. military and different ones have banned TikTok on any state, you know, or federal, you know, government platforms. And part of the reason is TikTok, it's a video sharing app. It's very popular. What is it? I think it's the second largest thing online right now, destination or something like that. It's certainly up there if it's not the second largest. And I don't think it's the first largest, but it is very popular. And it has these short videos. And other than the fact that TikTok can suck you in and 20 minutes, 30 minutes goes by before you even know what's happening, the other danger with TikTok is the company that owns it is tied with the Communist Chinese Party, and specifically the Communist Chinese military intelligence. And there's a lot of information that they gather from people. And just look at BitDance. That's the Chinese company. And the one of the CEO or top executives of BitDance, I forget which it is actually a member of the he's a member of the Chinese Communist Party, but he's got some official status with the government there. And again, I'm just trying to do a lot of this from memory. I was just reading about some of this recently, actually, this past week. But when you sign up on TikTok, of course, you got to provide a lot of information. And essentially, every bit of information that you provide to TikTok goes into files with the Chinese military intelligence. And this is the problem and why a number of places in the United States have banned TikTok. And there's even a move to ban TikTok from the United States, period. Not sure how they would do that and how they would enforce that. But when you go on, even if you're not a registered TikTok viewer, every time, and I'm not the expert on this, but every time that you go online, you have an online presence, and there's an address to record your computer. Some people use these VPNs and things that mask the location of your computer, but they can build up a profile on you when you come back. They load cookies on your computer, which are little tracking things that goes onto your computer so that when you come back the next time, they know it's you and they know what your past preferences are, and they enable them to send and suggest videos that you might like and things of that nature. But everything that you watch and how long you spend watching them is being recorded. A record is made of that, and they're essentially building profiles. And you say, well, what do they do with all this information? Well, that is a good question. Obviously, no one person can process all of this information, but they store this information. They practice what's called data mining, and if they want to target somebody, they go through and they begin to mine these billions of bits of information, these billions of terabytes, petabytes of information that are out there. And they go through and they mine that information to find out, in addition, what did you watch on TikTok, but what did you watch on other social media? Where can they track you across the internet? And there's various techniques that they can use. If people don't think this happens, have you ever been on Facebook and said to somebody on Facebook, oh, I like your, well, let's just say, I like your coat that you were wearing. And the next thing you know, you got advertisements for coats on Facebook showing up. You know,
and
that's because these things are tracking and they're listening and they're paying attention. There's even been cases where somebody has said while online that, you know, like on Google or something, and they've talked to somebody and they said something about, you know, I could really I would really like to find, and they'll name some particular item. And the next thing you know, similar sorts of things show up in their ads. It's as if they're listening to you. It's because in many cases they are. Yeah, and so they're making profiles of you and of everybody and connections with who you talk to and interface with. And all this information is built up, and then they can mine it so that if they need to, for instance, let's say somebody is running for Congress and the Chinese Communist Party wants to influence the election. Oh, I can't imagine where they might have influenced a Joe Biden presidential election in the past. But as they look at the candidates and they say, you know, we wouldn't want this candidate to get public office because they are not going to be compliant with us. In fact, they might work against us. Let's go through our data files and let's see what we can find on this person. And then if there's some negative information out there, they may, you know, in some way, third party or online or perhaps even in person, approach somebody and say, you know, we happen to know that you spend your time online looking at these things and you've been buying these things. And do you really want people to know about that? And, you know, so there's all kinds of ways that they can do this. But, yeah, TikTok is something I know it's extremely popular. And, yes, I admit I've looked at TikTok videos. A lot of times you can't help it. You don't even know it's TikTok until you're on it. And so I'm sure they've got some information. But I would never be a registered TikTok user. I would advise people thinking about it, never sign up for TikTok. It's blatantly an intelligence gathering platform for the Chinese military intelligence wing of the Chinese Communist Party.
But you're saying that they still can get information from you.
Oh, absolutely.
Registered.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now say if I stopped looking at any TikTok videos, would they be able to not get more information on me? So, I mean, are they going to store the information they've gotten so far?
Well, yeah. I mean, it doesn't cost them really anything to store it.
So even if I stop watching, they can't get any more, but they still have all the information or data that they've gotten prior to the time that I stopped watching the videos. But like you said, a lot of times these videos show up on my Facebook or elsewhere, and I don't even know that they're TikTok.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just so fascinating. So it's sort of like, unless they ban it completely, like they're talking about, you know, I'm surprised that Biden would want to ban it because he's so chummy with China.
Well, I don't think the Biden administration wants to ban it. So, or they may talk about it to sound like they're being, you know, tough on China, but even if you get on, I mean, they have ways of building information. I mean, Google stores every, if you do Google searches, and that's why
DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, DuckDuckGo or Dogpile or something like that is better, so that you're not tracked as much. And also, there's some rumors coming out that DuckDuckGo might have some more tracking than what people realize. But you know, ultimately, everything, and I said this when I left the Air Force back in the late 1980s, everything that you do electronically can be listened to, eavesdropped on. There's nothing you can do electronically that's private. Oh, you might think it's private. They might tell you it's private. Mm-hmm. But my opinion from what I saw in 1980s technology before the internet is there's nothing you can do electronically that's private. Now, let's fast forward, you know, many years, more years than I care to think about right now than now that I think about it, to the 2020s. You know, there's nothing you can do electronically. I mean, even if you say, well, I've had people say this, well, I'm not going to carry a cell phone because I don't want people, you know, cell phones picking me up of what I'm saying. I don't want it, you know, some record and all that. And they're sitting next to somebody that has a cell phone. You know, mm-hmm. you know, it's or how about these people who have, you know, the little Google things in their house or whatever, and they go, "Hey Google, what's the weather going to be tomorrow?" or something, oh, and yeah. it, and it just answers. Yeah. You know, and there's other ones that you have on your computer or little devices, and they're listening. They're always listening, and you know, but we worry about that. And we worry about violations of privacy, but let me tie this back to the Bible a little bit more. We worry about what the Chinese government might have on us or what Google might have on us, but people forget God hears everything that we say. And not only does he hear everything that we say, he knows everything that we think that we don't say.
That's an excellent analogy. I love that.
Yeah, and
I never thought of that.
If we're worried about what TikTok is going to do with it, or what Google's going to do with it, or the Chinese Communist government's going to do with it, or even the United States government's going to do with it, if we're worried about that, why wouldn't we be worried about what God knows? And, you know.
Very true.
Yeah, and if I can tie this in.
We've got a big priority. Yeah.
Yeah, and if I tie this in to the importance of salvation, you know, when we put our faith in Christ, God knows what our sin is, but he chooses to put it under the blood. And so he chooses not to remember and see our sin anymore. And. Mm-hmm. All of that, all of that that we thought and said and done that is recorded in God's files, that which is sin is now gone. And I've used the analogy many times about when I was in the Air Force, you know, working with classified material, sometimes you would have to release a piece of classified material to somebody that wasn't cleared to see it and or to see all of it, and you would have to go through and do what's called redacting, where you would have to black out portions of the text so that they couldn't read it. And so you would be reading a line, and you know, we were talking about TikTok. I got a thing here online that says TikTok and its Chinese counterpart, Douyin or something, is a short-term video hosting service owned by the Chinese company ByteDance. All right, now let's say that those names were redacted. I would read that as TikTok and its redacted counterpart, Redacted, is a short-form video hosting service owned by the redacted company Redacted. You see how that works? So you don't see what's under the heavy black line where it's redacted. Well, I look at that the same way with our sin. Only instead of a heavy black line, it's under the blood of Christ, under the crimson line from the blood of Christ. And so when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin, he just sees the blood. And and I've used the illustration before. You get up in the morning and you get out of bed and you step on something and redacted, and then you angrily redacted, and then you get ready and you go in, you fix a cup of coffee and you sit down, you fry an egg or something for breakfast, and you open the paper or you turn on the news, and you're listening to the news, and you hear a story, and you go, redacted, redacted. and so only the redacted would be the blood of Christ that's blotting out the sin, because when you come to Christ and trust Christ as your Savior, the Bible says he forgives us of our sin, all sin, past sin that we've committed, sin that we might currently be committing, and sin that we're going to commit in the future. It's all under the blood. And for our friends that think that you can lose your salvation, they don't understand how the blood of Christ works, because all of your sin is redacted. And so even though we sin, because in 1 John chapter 1, you know, John is writing about the idea of whether or not people sin. I know we're coming up on the break, but in 1 John chapter 1, he says that we absolutely do sin as believers. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Hey, Nancy, can you hold on? We got a break coming up. We'll be right back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220. The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I want to remind you, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can see links to some of our social media sites that we're on there, as well as a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. Certainly invite you to come out and visit us there. And also, it's our primary sponsor of the program, and also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. 341-9100 and let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right, we got a couple of things we're going to get to. We're going to get back to our callers here in just a second. Also wanted to mention to you tonight before I forget that we have two things here I want to mention here. One is we have Jonah Schultz. He's the author of Common Sense for a Dying Nation. He is going to be on with us in the 11 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. You can find his book, Common Sense for a Dying Nation, on Amazon and other sites. So we'll be talking about him and the premise of his book there, and some of the things that are happening here in the United States, and what we as Christians can do to help turn things around. Also wanted to let you know, if you are able to make it, there is a policy forum in Wadsworth tomorrow night. This is Monday, March the 20th at 7 p.m. That's tomorrow night, 7 p.m. in Wadsworth, and it is going to be at 743 High Street. That's State Route 94, just south of Interstate 76 there in Wadsworth, north side of Wadsworth. And if you're familiar with the area, it's going to be, they're using the facilities at the Now Church. So some of you may remember that as the Nazarene Church there on High Street, Route 94. And that's the Now Church, 743 High Street in Wadsworth. And this policy forum is going to have State Representative Scott Wiggum, who is going to be addressing the 60% threshold increase for constitutional amendments and what's happening there. And then, of course, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance, Chris Long, is going to be addressing the abortion ballot measure and the potential for that being on the ballot this November. That's a very important issue. And then Representative Gary Click, who also happens to be the pastor of the Fremont Baptist Temple, Gary Click will be on to discuss the Ohio Safe Act. That's House Bill 68. And, of course, the Ohio Safe Act is the bill that will prevent the chemical and surgical mutilation of our children here in the state of Ohio in under the guise of gender dysphoria treatment. So this, again, as I said, this is a policy forum with State Representative Scott Wiggum, Ohio Christian Alliance President Chris Long, and State Representative Gary Click, talking about the 60% threshold increase for constitutional amendments in Ohio and the abortion ballot measure that possibly could be on the ballot this November to change the state of Ohio's constitution to enshrine abortion in there, and then the Ohio Safe Act, HB 68, to protect Ohio's children from surgical and chemical mutilation. All right, and you can check that out if you go to ohioca.org. Just go to ohioca.org, and you'll see an ad for that on the policy forum coming up tomorrow night, Monday night, 7 p.m. at the Now Church in Wadsworth, Ohio, 743 High Street in Wadsworth, Ohio. All right, well, we're going to get back to our program here. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we had Nancy on the phone with us just going into the break, and we held her over because we hadn't completed what we were talking about there. Nancy, are you still with us there?
Yes, I am, Pastor Al. Thank you for keeping me on. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you were able to stay there with us. We were talking about, you know, we went from TikTok and how TikTok and Google and other online giants are vacuuming up our data everything that you do online, and even listening to the stuff that you can say that you know, your Google thing and Siri and all that can hear, and building data files on everybody, and they can mine that for information. And we went from there to talk about how God knows everything that you say, everything that you think. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And but thankfully, if you put your faith in Christ, the blood of Christ, the Bible says, cleanses from all sin, and he covers our sin so he does not see our sin anymore. And as we were going into the break, I was saying that in 1 John, in 1 John chapter 1, John wrote and said that if we try to claim that we're without sin, that we're sinning when we do that. So believers obviously sin, and so how can we go to heaven if we sin? You know, because but it's because it's under the blood. And so because it's under the blood, God doesn't see it. I use the term redacted, like with classified documents. You use a heavy black line to mark out all the classified portions so people can't see it. Well, in God's case, he uses the blood of Christ with a crimson line to blot out the sin in our life so he doesn't see it. And that's why when John wrote here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, let's drop verse number 6. We'll start in there. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that's in the active sense. You know, he's continually cleansing us from all sin. And then he says this in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and his truth is not in us. And so that's a problem when somebody denies their sin nature. I had a guy at the Summit County Fair a couple of years ago with his nose practically bumping my nose, his eyes bulging out, and a vein standing out on his forehead. He's beet red, and he's practically screaming at me through clenched teeth saying, "I do not sin." Well, thankfully, his wife pulled him away before he did sin. he was assuring me that by force of his own will, he was able to prevent himself from sinning from the time that he got saved, years earlier until that moment that he was standing in front of me with his eyes bulging saying, "I do not sin." I think his eyes were kind of bulging because I actually quoted to him this passage from 1 John chapter 1. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then verse 10, where it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And that's where he was more adamant, saying that he did not sin, which in and of itself, according to the word of God, is a sin, because we do sin. So what happens when we sin? I've got another caller waiting here, but let me just run over here to Revelation a moment here, and just trying to tie this in. In Revelation chapter 21 here, it says in verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and all and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars which shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I've actually heard people say, well, if you think that you can sin and get into heaven, how can you get into heaven? Because it says right here that sinners can't get into heaven, and they'll read through that. And I look at that and I say, well, what are you doing? Are you absolutely without sin? Are you claiming to be without sin? Which God, speaking through John in First John chapter 1, said is a sin in and of itself, claiming to be without sin. And besides, how many people do you have to kill to be a murderer? Well, just one, right? Mm-hmm. How many things do you have to steal to be a thief? Well, just one. Mm-hmm. How many idols do you have to worship to be an idolater? Well, just one. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. How many lies do you have to make to be a liar? Just one. And if you've made one single lie and you can lose your salvation because of sin, then according to that line of reasoning, you get saved and you lie once, you're on your way to hell. But thankfully, the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. It's actively cleansing. And when we lie, that heavy crimson red line is applied to that sin, and God does not see it. Instead, he sees what he gave us in Romans chapter 3, where it says, when we believe, he puts his righteousness on us, and he doesn't Amen. See our sin because he's declared us to be justified. He has said our sin is forgiven, and so that lie is forgiven. Well, what if somebody kills somebody? You know, it's in the same verse, isn't it? All liars is there in the same verse, Revelation 21, verse 8, with murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. As far as God's concerned, you lie, it's just the same as if you murdered somebody. You've sinned, and you cannot enter into the kingdom of God or into heaven unless your sin is forgiven. And when you put your faith in Christ, that sin is forgiven even before you do it. Say, well, how can it be forgiven before you do it? Well, my question to that would be, or response to that would be, when Christ died on the cross, how many sins had you committed? None. You weren't born yet. He died for future sins on the cross as well as past sins. And all of my sins were future when Jesus died on the cross. And so he died for all of my future sins. Hey, Nancy, I've got Terry waiting for us now, and I need to get to him.
Okay, well, thank you for taking my call.
I appreciate
that. I'm not surprised that Terry is waiting.
Yes.
So
all right.
I'll enjoy listening to him. He has such a nice personality. I enjoy listening to him.
Well, God bless. Thanks for calling tonight. Appreciate the call tonight, Nancy. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. And we've got Terry who's waiting patiently for us tonight. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Welcome.
Hi, good evening.
Thank you, Nancy, for the compliment.
Well, you know, we all hope that something that we do, we're a blessing to somebody. And I was thinking, different programs have callers, even the national programs, if you look at it, there's repeat callers on all the programs. And some of my favorite programs that I listen to are national programs. And sometimes I look forward to hearing certain callers call in, even though it's not their program. They're a caller that usually when they call in, they have something good to talk about, something productive, something that contributes or something that makes you think. And I like to think that a lot of times you, Nancy, and some of our other callers who call frequently do. That has some things that are productive, some things that help us think, and things that are a blessing. So,
yeah, I like some of the callers that call in too. I wish they would call in more.
Yes, yes, and of course we've always got room for other callers as well. So,
right. Anyway, I was just going to say a couple things real quick. I took TikTok. I used to have TikTok for a little bit.
Right.
I got rid of that off all my devices. I got rid of it because there's a lot of lust on there.
Well, it's
can be tempting.
Yeah, but it's almost like TikTok has studied and they know what to put forward to appeal the most to people.
Right. So and another thing is your president is coming to Canada this week.
Any chance you guys can keep him? No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to all my friends listening in Canada. I don't want to wish that on you. Maybe we'll send him south of the border down to Mexico. He seems to like to have them coming up here. Maybe he could join them down there. But, yeah.
Well, anyhow, it's something I've been meaning to bring up the last few weeks, actually. We have a service in the morning. And in the afternoon, I've been going to, lately I've been just visiting the Mormon church, because the one reason why I've been going there is because I wanted to find out what they're about, you know, how they operate and all that. And one good thing is that I every month, once a month, they have a chance to give people an opportunity to go up and speak. So there's been a couple of times where I was able to go up there and speak. And the only thing that I spoke about mostly was scriptures, because I believe the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So I don't know if I should be doing this, but I've been doing it. The first time I went up, I talked about the Gospel of John, 3:16:17, chapter 3. And I brought that up, and then they that believe not are condemned already because they haven't believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. So I brought that up, and I brought up in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I brought that stuff up there to them and then prayed about it afterwards. One problem that they have, and this a lot of different denominational church or different occult churches have, and even the Catholics, is they don't believe in a literal hell, a literal separation from God.
Uh-huh.
And that's a big problem that most of cults have, like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Christian Science and even the Catholics, I believe.
Well, and I interject something there with that because, of course, we've talked before about some different things, and I certainly don't recommend, visiting the Mormon Church. But when you talk about it, you look at what do they say about Jesus Christ, and it's something that I learned a long time ago. Is when you find out what somebody says about Jesus Christ. And if they uphold the Jesus of the Bible, then, that's certainly something worth following, more with. But when someone changes Jesus into somebody else, for instance, a number of religions and cult groups say that Jesus is not God. He's a created being. We've talked about how the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that he's actually Michael the Archangel, that God created him and then Jesus created everything. And of course, in Mormonism, they say that Jesus was the physical offspring of Jehovah God, having a physical relationship with Mary and producing a son by the name of Jesus. They also say he's the elder brother of Lucifer. And so those are kind of problematic when you look at what the Bible says, where Jesus is the second person in the Godhead, what we call the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And, in John chapter 1, in the beginning where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know it's talking about Jesus because later on he says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and just so many other parts of the Bible that present Jesus as God. And then, of course, because a lot of people have difficulty understanding the Godhead and things of that nature, they respond to some of these groups that come out with different teachings and aberrant beliefs about who Jesus is. And the reason I say this is when my wife and I became missionaries in the Samoan Islands, we were in an area where the Mormons were very, very active. There were more Mormons than Roman Catholics there, which is, usually it's the other way around. And I knew a little bit about it, but I had to learn more. And I got a hold of some materials, and the one guy that I got a number of materials from said, "Don't even try to witness to them unless you know more about it than they do." And I thought, well, right. How am I going to spend all my time, learning all that and studying my Bible at the same time? And then the Jehovah's Witnesses were very active on the island, and so because we were new, they were always at the door, and so as a consequence, I got some good materials on that, and again, I was exposed to the same idea. Don't even talk to them until you know more about it than what they do. And I thought, okay, I can't talk to the Mormons until I know more about it than they do. I can't talk to Jehovah's Witnesses until I know more about it than they do. When am I going to have time to study the Bible so that I can preach the Word of God? And it dawned on me, know more about Jesus Christ than they do. If you know more about Jesus Christ and the Word of God than they do, then it's like the old thing about somebody working in a bank. They don't study all the different types of counterfeit bills because there's always new ones coming along. What they do is they study what real money looks and feels like so that when a fake comes along, they can recognize it. And that's what I tell people, study the Word of God. And then that way, when something comes along that imitates the Bible, imitates the Christ of the Bible, imitates the gospel of the Bible, you recognize it as an imitation, as false, because it's not real. And that's, I think, the best thing for people to do is spend the bulk of your time studying the Word of God, knowing who Jesus is, and knowing what you believe and why you believe it. And I think if you know those things, it'll really help you when you deal, because you can become an expert on Mormonism or something. What about when the Muslims stop by? And they tell you, yo, Joe, Jesus Christ, we believe in Jesus. But again, they present to you another Christ, and certainly not the Jesus of the Bible. And but if you know him, there's where you're at. And then, of course, you know, where you're at, you know, whatever's around you, you know, like when I was in Samoa, I needed to know a lot about Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness. So, you know, you learn more about what you're around. I remember at a pastor's fellowship one time saying, if a high Rastafarian of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster moves in next to you, you might want to spend some time learning about that. But in most cases, you probably won't need to worry about it too much. So,
well, I love the Mormons, and I love the witness to them.
Oh yeah,
I got this book actually. I got from Utah. Uh-huh. Is Witnessing to the Mormons in Love.
Yes,
like, and we got to be careful that we're not causing more problems than good to with them.
Right.
And
I like what you said, witnessing in love, because the goal is not to be out there just to win an argument. The goal is to win a soul. And I remember a guy I knew who had a ministry to Muslims, and he said that the first thing you have to remember when witnessing to Muslims, trying to share the gospel with Muslims, is the first victim of Islam is the Muslim people. And, you know, you have to have compassion.
Mormons, too.
Exactly. I say that the first victim would be the Mormon people. Many of them are honest, sincere people who are really searching for the truth. And that's where, you know, the Bible talks about preaching the truth in love. And we need to have compassion on those that are lost.
The sad thing about it is they send these young Mormons out,
mm-hmm.
and they're trained as young kids.
Yes.
Their life, a lot of them. That's their whole purpose, to go out for 2 years of their life and go out and preach this.
Yes.
This message, trying to get people to get baptized and into the church and have their hands lay their hands on them so they uh-huh. receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Like, right.
That's their whole purpose. And what what they don't realize is that they're actually sending people to hell.
Yeah, and that's again where you get back to the fact they're the first victims. And so we need to remember that, not just trying to win an argument, not trying to make, you know, belittle them and all of that. Hey, Terry, we're coming up on the end of the hour here pretty quickly.
Okay.
And we're going to have to be breaking here in just a few moments. I want to thank you for your call tonight. I appreciate that. And again, you know, you and our other listeners in Canada have my sympathies with Joe Biden coming up to visit you guys. But keep the faith, brother. Hey, stay tuned. We've got another hour to go.